Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
Praise God. He's worthy of our praise, isn't he? He's a good father, and there's a couple of good fathers in the room here today as well. We're proud of our dads here at Central. I shared this with you before, and I'll share it a little bit in the message, but I think one of the highest honors is to consider yourself a father in the image of God, because God is our heavenly Father, and he illustrates that perfectly. Watch me, I'm kind of ringing there, guys. And so we celebrate that, and we honor that today, and I believe it's just a high calling to reflect the glory of God and his identity as Father, and the opportunity that we have there to do that and to celebrate that. And I know the ladies in the room were like, well, what about us today, Pastor? You know, we're here too. Don't forget about us. And the idea is that we all get to celebrate this, and we all get to draw this out and call this forth in the lives of the men that are part of our lives as Father. We get to show them that honor. It's one thing to father begrudging people. It's another thing to father willing people, right? Whew! That's a whole different game right there. When people are willing to respect and honor that role of father, all of a sudden it's a healthy thing instead of a battled thing, right? And so we all get to play a part in those, and we praise God for that. I know there are also situations where there are some broken stuff going on in our world. Fatherhood is, the concept itself is fully under attack. And I don't mean to pet peeve on things, but if our enemy can defame the concept of father, then every time someone hears about Father God, they'll think of Homer Simpson instead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all that God does right. Right? If we can taint the word dad to mean something foolish and ignorant, then all of a sudden, whenever we talk about Father God, we'll attach that to it, and Satan will have won a battle, and we're not about to let that happen. Because fatherhood is God's idea, it's his identity, and when it's done right, it is beautiful, and it reflects the glory all to him. So today's message, we're going to be obviously dealing with this concept of fatherhood, and I wanted to start it out with some shout-outs to dads. And if you guys will help me out, I know I'm a pastor, so I don't get to miss too many Sundays. And so what I'm going to do is something, I'm going to Facebook Live something for my dad. You guys help me with that? All right. So we're going to start a live video. And we're starting a live video. And sometime, hey, happy Father's Day. I just wanted to send this out to Doyle Bradshaw. I'm here at church this morning. Say hi, everybody. Woo-hoo! And we're taking a moment to shout out to dads. And so, Dad, I want to say thank you for loving on me. Thank you for giving me a head start in life and helping me out. I just want to take a moment of our service to celebrate dads, and particularly Doyle Bradshaw, my dad. Dad, I love you. Happy Father's Day. We'll talk to you later. God bless you. All right. Cool. There. Thanks for helping me celebrate Father's Day with my dad. All right. I also want to give a shout out to dads who, what did I write there? Oh, yeah. Dads with babies in the house. God help you and bless you, okay? Dads with babies in the house, right? Like the little ones that don't know what nighttime means. Those babies, you know? I guess that happens in teenagers too. Anyway, but shout out to you dads who are going to bat. Dads who change diapers. Come on. Yeah. Celebrate the poo. Okay, anyway, all right. Yeah, so shout out to dads. Welcome to the club, dads with babies in the house. Welcome to fatherhood, and it gets better. It gets real fun when they turn about two and they can interact and play with you. That's kind of what we dads like. Anyway, all right. I want to give a shout out this morning as well to Ron Hoskins. He's gone on to be with Jesus, and he showed us what fathering is like. And praise God for him and the men like him. Maybe you've lost a father in your life as well. We celebrated Ron's homegoing yesterday and his graduation, but I want to give a shout out to those men because they have fought the good fight, they have finished the race, they have kept the faith, and praise God for them. Amen? So shout out to those dads who've gone on before us. I also want to give a shout out to the recent empty nester dad. Yeah, you know who you are. You're sitting around going, wow, this is a lot easier. What do I do with myself all day long? I'm not managing all these things. Or now maybe you're fixing their house instead of yours. I don't know. But the empty nester dad, we want to say congrats to you on this new season of life. It's different and it's a change, but praise God for different seasons of life, right? The last kid maybe gone recently. It's a new day for you. So congrats to you, dad. I also want to give a shout out to our favorite fictional TV dads. Because they don't care. But you know who you think of when you think of TV dads. Several people come to mind, identities. Maybe they were the good side of it. Maybe they were the not so good side of it. But maybe you learned something from Uncle Phil. Right? Yeah, come on, Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Right? You learned some stuff from Uncle Phil. You learn how to bring somebody into the family. Whatever it is. So maybe it's Zeke or it's Jack or it's Andy Griffith. Whoever you are, TV fictional dads, we say thanks for what we learned from you back in the day. Whether it was, we'll just repeat the good parts. How's that? Yeah, we'll just do that. All right, so thanks to the fictional TV dads. And also I want to give a shout out to the future dads in the room. Because they're like, well, this isn't for me. Well, I said, maybe, yeah. And so we give a shout out, and everybody's looking over here, guys. Don't get in any hurries. Don't get in any hurries. In God's timing, do not awaken or arouse love until it so desires. Okay, that's in the Song of Solomon. Okay, anyway. But to the future dads in the room, I challenge you to take good notes. And take your time, but take good notes. There's no rush on this, but most importantly, let the Word of God show you how Father God does it best. And that's what we're going to turn our brains to a little bit this morning. Now, my last shout out goes to a future dad, but this turns into sermon now. So, I got to start listening. Okay, anyway, my last shout out goes to a future dad, also the subject of our message today. Imagine being a young man, engaged to be married, got hopes and dreams, excitement going on, like, you're like, this is going to be us, and she's the one, and I'm so excited, and we get to be together, this is great, we're going to be married, and then she, you've done things God's way, you've been faithful and pure, you've done things the right way, the way God describes in His Word, and you're saving all that excitement and consummation for the wedding night, and then your fiancé tells you she's pregnant. And you know, you're like, wait a second, we didn't do any of this, so what's up, girl? Right? Like, hold on a second. Time out. I got stuff in my pocket here. It's coming out. Time out, lady. What do you mean you're pregnant? Because there's only one way you get pregnant, right? And we're not doing that. So what's going on here? Imagine that emotion. Imagine that situation for you. I can imagine my reactions and responses. The frustration, the disappointment, the anger, the whatever it may be. Anybody relate to that or consider that for a second? Wow. All that would go along with that. Apparently she did this without you. The Bible is generally quiet about this future dad's responses. But what it does tell us is that Joseph decided to break it off quietly and to not shame her, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Father God had to intervene and guide Joseph in this moment. Fatherly advice. Always allow God to give you fatherly advice. Always allow His Word and maybe even a special revelation of a vision or Word of God to your heart. Always let Him speak into your situation. Matthew chapter 1 briefly tells us about Mary and Joseph and God's guidance of Joseph. His love for God is revealed in how He dealt with being wronged. Joseph might have been a pretty qualified father when we start thinking about it. Because when he was wronged, he didn't try to wrong back, did he? He actually did the godly thing, the righteous thing, and tried to care for that quietly, deal with it quietly. But the Lord intervened and the Lord showed up. And I'm pretty sure I would have needed an angel to show up to me too. How about you guys? Like, my fiance is having a baby and I didn't do that. What's up? Like, God, what's going on here? And God showed up in his moment. He didn't want to make a scene. He didn't want to embarrass her. He didn't want to prove he was right. He was quiet about it. Dads, what a great example for us. Shut up and pipe down, right? Just shh. Hold on a second. I don't know what your home was like. My home had a quiet person and a loud person. Anybody else's home like that? My dad was the loud one. He wanted to reason for everyone to hear, right? My mom would just climb up and not talk. That's a real good combination, by the way. It's kind of crazy. But the loud voice, just oftentimes in our society, we equate loud and overbearing with macho, right? If I can impose my will either physically or verbally or intimidate someone, then I'm the man, I'm in charge. And Joseph didn't buy into that. He did the right thing, and he held his tongue. And he gave God an opportunity to redeem the situation. Because if Joseph had come out and defamed her and made a big scene out of it, there'd have been no recovering and God's will would have been altered because of his decision making. But instead, he submitted to what the Lord showed him. See, manhood isn't defined by noise and exertion. It's defined by power held in check. The grace and wisdom to value people over the problem. It's a powerful tool for fathering. To value the individuals over the situation. You can fix a situation and lose the people forever, right? So it's a powerful weapon for us to understand and how to deal with that. Yes, there's times to speak up. Yes, there's times to stand strong. Absolutely. But we also, many times, we default to that instead of giving the consideration to just holding our tongue for a minute. That's something I learned about Ron as well this weekend. He's quiet, but when he spoke, it was worth hearing. I pray those are my words too. That I don't just babble on at the mouth, even though I'm a preacher, and that's what we get accused of. Anyway, he loved her enough to treat her with dignity while being wronged. Fatherhood doesn't demand its rights. Fatherhood loves and honors. That's a big deal. And dads, if you've been around very long, you know how that works, right? Because there's stuff that you want to do too, but you understand that you love and you honor others. You don't just demand what's yours. If your kids have an image of you just demanding what you rightfully deserve, they're missing a little bit of Father God, because God doesn't really behave that way so much. He's kinder and a little different personality there. So in Matthew chapter 1, God sends an angelic message to Joseph, which, like I said before, I would have probably needed something just like that. In a vision, he gets an understanding of who God is. And God said, and here's what the text says in Matthew chapter 1. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Isn't it interesting that people who love somebody in one moment, when something changes, all of a sudden they hate that person and want to defame them when 2 minutes ago they would have fought for them? Anybody's ever been a part of that? You guys have never seen that? She's the one. She's in it. And she did this. Oh, she's dead to me. I hate her. She's so stupid and ugly anyway. What? Like, where did that come from? That's lashing out. Just pipe down, process it, figure out what's going on. So, verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He tells Joseph, this is my doing. She's been faithful, and so have you, Joseph. Please, listen, God says to Joseph in a dream, please raise my son. Wow. That's overwhelming. God interrupts his sleep, gives him a vision, and says, please raise my son. We go on and on about the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, but oftentimes Joseph is left off to the side. But in that moment, when he took on a son that wasn't his and treated him as his own for life, he showed more of the grace, the glory, and the character of God than most of us have ever mustered. He revealed the heart of Father God to the very Son of God in his place, in a physical way. Simply a paraphrase, please raise my son, but it's just true. What a dynamic request. What a challenge. He woke up and obeyed. The scripture doesn't go into all the details. It doesn't talk about when Jesus was four. Lord, thank you, God, that it's not in the Bible what Jesus did when he was four, right? That there's not a lot of information or detail there. All we have is the fact that Joseph just did, he served the role of a father. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. He simply was the father on this earth that Jesus needed. Fatherhood portrays God. He loved his wife. We see that clearly because he didn't even want to defame her when he felt wronged. He loved her more than his own good name, right? He put her first, a powerful trait of fatherhood, put the family in front of his own desires and interests. And he adopted and raised the Son of God as his own. There was no indication anywhere in Scripture that Joseph dropped the ball or gave less than his best. There's no information in the Scripture that points us that way. He was the one teaching Jesus the Word of God in their home. That's a mind bender, right? Joseph was teaching the Word of God, the Word of God. Right? But he's the one doing that. He's the father given in the memory of us. And let me just challenge us, dads, in our society, in our culture, we have relegated a lot of that to other people. We've relegated a lot of that teaching and learning to classrooms, to teachers, to other settings and other situations, especially even in the church situation. Your sons and daughters are not supposed to be discipled by the church. They're supposed to be discipled by you. Trained up by you. You are the one that teaches them, and the church comes alongside and supports what you're saying. Because we've all known that when your parents say to do something, you're like, I don't know if I want to do that. And then somebody else comes along and say, hey, you should do that. You're like, that's a great idea. And the parents are going, what the heck? Like, what just happened here? I just said that and you wouldn't do it, but he said it and it's cool now, right? That's where the church comes alongside and helps. But the discipling role is yours, Dad. You're the priest of the home. The teaching of how to study the Bible, the devotions, the prayer, all that stuff's supposed to be led by Dad. Amen, church? That's the opportunity. That's what Father does. So Jesus and Joseph had that relationship. He's the one teaching the word. He's the one modeling restraint. He's the one illustrating power and grace and compassion so that Jesus could pick that up and do likewise. He showed him all of that. He showed the love of taking in a son that wasn't even his, and he portrayed the love of God to the Son of God. Powerful. He's the one teaching carpentry and responsibility. Jesus, clean your room. Jesus, pick that stuff up. Hopefully you don't say that much at your house and using the Lord's name in vain. Jesus, pick. Okay, anyway. All right. He's the one teaching carpentry responsibility. He's the one teaching character. He's the one instilling those traits and values in Jesus in that setting. He's the one saying, son, this is how we do it. This is how we do it. I've trained and worked and begged with my kids so hard to understand that we don't just give them lists of rules. We give them understanding so that they can own that. So they don't have to say, I'm not allowed to do that. They just say, that's not something I do. It's a whole different list right there, right? If you're not allowed to do that, that means if somebody's not around, you can go ahead and try it. But if it's not something I do, then it doesn't matter who's around. It's just not what I do. And Jesus is getting taught that by Joseph. Joseph sharing all that with him. He was probably the one that Jesus resembled as he physically walked. Have you ever seen a father-son, that gait, that step that you can just identify, that's so-and-so's kid? Have you ever seen that? I saw that once with a buddy of mine. It freaked me out. He was a 6'5" friend of mine named Brian. I call him Big Monkey. If you're listening, hi, Brian. Anyway, and he walked, and when he had his son, we got to see them, and his boy was walking around with him, and they were walking somewhere, and Brian, 6'5" Brian, and then his little toddling son, and I could see the exact same gait, like the arms moved, the step was exactly the same. It was like, whoa, he's been cloned, right? Because he picked that up. He learned that from his father, and Jesus' physical walk probably resembled how Joseph walked because he learned that from him. He followed in his steps, his mannerisms. He was the father that pointed Jesus to the Father. You can say it a few different ways based on your experience and your preferences, but ultimately, fatherhood portrays God to our kids, to our spouses, and to our neighbors and all those around us. If our version of father isn't pointing people to God, then we are doing it wrong. And we've got to be man enough to say that and admit that so that we can turn it around and do it right. But if my version of fatherhood does not make people understand who God is, then I'm doing it wrong. And I need to get that shaped up in the right direction. Does Father God correct us? Absolutely, He does. He gives us instruction, He gives us discipline and guidance. It's critical to being a father. Does Father God ever ignore us? Nope, He doesn't. So when we're tired and when we're weary and we're worn out from working or whatever it is that we're doing, video gaming, however you dad, just God help you. Okay, anyway, whatever it is you're doing, you get yourself wore out and the kids are just, let's not ignore them because Father God doesn't ignore us. Let's engage them, amen? But I'm tired. You don't know how long I worked. Your kids don't care. Right? They don't care. They just want dad. And I've also, just a dad tip here, I don't have all this dadding thing figured out. Trust me, I've learned a couple things. And one of those is, when they want to do something, it doesn't take nearly as long as what I think it would. Dad, let's play baseball. Okay, and I'm thinking, gloves, bats, bases, where are we going to play? How far can we hit? Where do we got to go to the field or something? No, just get the ball, go across the yard with the glove, throw it to him, about 3 times, done. Right? But we played baseball. Right? We're not going to play 9 innings. We don't have to establish all the ground rules. We can just have a catch or two, right? But be there for them. Don't ignore them. Be like Father God and engage them. God hears all of our. And then they're ridiculous. He hears all of them, right? He engages us that way. He doesn't ignore us, and so we reflect God when we don't ignore, but we engage. Does Father God ever stop loving us? No. There's no way. No matter what we do, we're still son, right? That can't be taken away from us. This incredible power, or the incredible power of today, is to realize that you and I are free. We are not stuck in whatever pattern or system or experience of father that you've had. That's the beautiful thing about this. Because we all understand in our society, there's been some really rotten fathering. Right? There's been some jacked up situations. There's been abuse. There's been neglect. There's been abandonment. There's been all sorts of stuff done in the name of dad. And none of it reflects the glory of God. None of that, anyway. But the great thing is that you don't have to repeat that. You don't have to adopt that. You can just simply do what Father God does and reflect His glory. You're not bound to the system. Well, that's pastor, that's all I know. Well, then know something different. Right? Well, that's just easy for you to say. Well, it's easy for you to say too. Just know something different. Learn something different. Find another somebody else to mentor after. Start looking at the Word and find somebody who's fathering where it's going right. We had students in our youth ministry for years because of broken homes and divorce and neglect and abuse and all those situations. I was the only person they ever knew that treated his wife right. I was the only one. And so I got to be extra dad. I got to be an example of dad to all those students who, when they went home, it wasn't the case. And they learned something by watching somebody else doing something different. I learned fathering from my dad as well as my father-in-law. And I learned a different way of doing that and picked up some things from both sides. And I try to get rid of all the worst of it and keep all the best of it, right? And that's what we have to be actively doing. If you're not working at your fatherhood, then you are neglecting your gift and your craft. God has anointed and appointed you for such a time as this. Own it. And be awesome at it, Dad. Show your kid how good it can be. Show him who God is. No matter what your earthly example of father did, whether it was good, great, awful, unspeakable, you are free to father just like God does. You're free to do that. You're free to learn who he is and how he relates to people and to do the same thing. Is it what comes naturally? Maybe not. Is it effective? Absolutely and eternally, yes. Maybe you were raised by a godly dad that prayed and led and served your family. Maybe your dad was a pitiful excuse for a man that abused and cheated your family. Regardless of whatever your situation and background, you are not stuck. The good news of the gospel is that you are not stuck. Amen? You're stuck in that. You have the power, you have the freedom, you have the gift of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ to be free from that and step forward and do it right and do it well. I don't know how. Find somebody. Read your word. Start following that example. Talk less, learn more, right? How many guys, you just got in a circle and you're supposed to be the one learning and all we can do is yap, 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 yap. Anybody ever been to that? Just shut up and learn something, right? Pipe down. Learn something. Put yourself around a godly man who's going to help you see a different way to do it. But it's up to you, dads. That's the role we have. It's the opportunity that we have. We all know about nature versus nurture. We all understand that. Our temperament and our tendencies, our personalities, we all get that. That's part of the equation. Absolutely. I will not deny that. That is absolutely part of the equation. But it's not the deciding factor. Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can be a yeller that learns to shut up. Right? If I'm wise enough, if I based on my past experience, my current responsibilities, my past experience, my current responsibilities, and my future hopes and dreams, I can do something different, right? I can do the wise thing. And that's what we're challenged to do today. If you have failed, there's mercy and forgiveness. It's not over. Amen? If you need help, there is grace to empower you. That's what God offers. If you're tired, there is strength and rest for the weary. Hang in there. This is a quick season of life. The one you're in now, it always changes. If you're fearful, the Bible tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of failing. You don't have to be afraid of disappointing. All you have to do is give God your dead level best and show him your love and show your family that love. I'd love to give you a list of do's and don'ts today. You know, it's always the running joke in churches on Mother's Day, we honor and love them, and on Dad's, we bash them, right? Like, moms are so great. Mom, without you, I wouldn't be here. And Dad's, you bunch of sorry, no good dads, you need to get it right. You know, that's not what we're doing. I'd love to give you a list of stuff that you could just take home and put in your closet, and whenever you're getting ready today, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, don't do this, don't do this. I'd love to give you that list of do's and don'ts, but we all know that information is not what changes you. It's application. You all have everything you need. You have it at your fingertips. You have it at your elbows with people around you. You have it at opportunity. You have the information. You have the access that you need. Now it's just a simple matter of application. What are you going to do with all that info? What are you going to do with all that resource? What are you going to do with that opportunity that God has given us? You need resource and examples, but ultimately, like Joseph, just like Joseph, you get up and you obey the Lord. Just get up and obey the Lord tomorrow. Get up from your afternoon nap. Holy hallelujah, right? Get up from your afternoon nap and obey the Lord. Just do what he says. Just take that opportunity and invest in your family, invest in your people, and show the love of God. You love those kids by showing them a glimpse of Father God. It's our honor to wear the authority and to fill the role of dad. It's a divine role ordained by God himself. So dads, let's make the most of this opportunity. Dads, let's not slow down or get weary. Let's be encouraged today and know that your effort is worth it. You are changing lives for eternity today. I can't do all that today. No, but it starts today. And you follow through the next and the next and the next. And to everyone around dad, because you're like, man, this is not for me today. To everyone around dad, I want you to realize the weight and the challenge that he carries. And support and honor his effort. How beautiful would that be? Realize the weight and responsibility he carries, toting around the opportunity to be the image of God to his family and to the people around him. And honor and support that and celebrate that instead of just nitpicking the failures and the shortcomings, right? Honor that. God blesses when we honor that way. In fact, we're gonna lift these men up in prayer right now. So dads, if you would, stand right up where you're at. Just go ahead. Own it. I love it. See, we try to be subtle about a lot of other things, but when it comes to dad, just man up and stand up. Yeah. Yeah. Stand up right there. Now, here's what I would like to do. Logistics. Okay. Dads, move to the aisles. How about that? We're just going to mobilize around you. So move to the aisles and let's gather around our dads. Can we do that, church? And we're going to lift them up in prayer. So let's get action. Let's get moving. Let's move and come around our dads. Make sure everybody's got somebody praying for them. You don't have to go to your dad, but you can if you want to. That's fine. There's an awesome weight and responsibility and opportunity in front of these dads. Dads, can we give an applause and a round of thanks to our families for helping us do what God's called us to do? Absolutely. I remember taking Ethan home from the hospital and I thought, Lord Jesus, they gave me a human. What in the world am I supposed to do with this? Like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And that's where most of us dads have felt at some point, right? I'm not sure how to do this. I'm not sure what to do here. I'm a little overwhelmed. It might have been this morning, right? You know? Absolutely. And so we're walking this walk of faith just like you are. We're following our Lord. We're following Jesus. We're following every opportunity that we have to make this the best it can be. And I pray that this is a marked opportunity for you. I pray this is a marked moment that you say, you know what? I didn't think I could do this, but you know what? Through Christ, I can do all things. I'm overwhelmed by this, but I'm not going to back down because my kids are worth it. My kids deserve that. They deserve a clear image of who God is. And nobody's going to give them that but me. So I'm going to step up. I'm going to rise to the occasion. Maybe and I'm speaking to every season of life. Because dads, if you've been around long enough, you know that even the ones that are away from the house still need you. They still call, acting like they know it all, but they're sure looking for some advice. Right? They're looking for some info. They're looking for some experience. They're looking for some free labor. Come on. Right? Because they know, surely they know, surely they know you love them more than you even love yourself. That's that glory of God displayed through fatherhood. Can't be expressed. And everybody says, you'll know when you have a kid someday, blah, 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 right? You've heard that. Someday when you've got your own little boy, you'll understand what it's like. But isn't it true, Dad? Man, it's powerful. The first step of that is being right with God. All this is crazy talk if you are not right with Jesus. Because you can't do this on your own, and you don't have the right image of fatherhood to put in front of you unless you're right with God. And so this morning, as we've talked about Father God loving you, Father God wants to make things right with you. In fact, He has. See, there was distance between you and God. There was a rift in the relationship. It's called sin. We've all broken that. We've all broken that relationship. We've made a mess of it because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. Jesus came and took that punishment, and He provided relationship with Dad, Father God, for us. If we simply confess our sins and make Jesus Lord of our life, you can be put in right relationship, and then you can start to emulate and imitate Father God for the world around you. But if you don't have God in your heart in the first place, you're going to really have an uphill battle. You're not going to make it that way. So with every head bowed real quick as we close this morning, every eye closed, I just want to give you a chance. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, Pastor? I'm not right with Jesus. I'm not right with God yet. You're talking about reflecting the glory of God, and I don't really know Him. I'm not right with Him. I don't know who He is. I just know that there's things about my life that don't seem to be working out right, and I can't figure out how to fix it. And maybe I need to give my life to God. There's something inside of you that's saying, this is the way it ought to be. You need to be right with your dad, Father God. And so whether you're male or female in this place today and you don't know Jesus, today could be your day of salvation. So I want to give you that chance to respond today. You say, Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus in my life and I want to do that today. If that's you, just raise your hand and make eye contact with me so I can pray with you after service. Anybody here?
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.